Okay, we're just going to start. We have started recording. I will edit out any shite, and I will keep a lot of shite in, because this whole thing is based on pretty much
shite.
Hello, I'm Anne Hurst, and you're listening to the Terrified Writer podcast. Did you notice? Not Life is Scary, the Terrified Writer podcast. I don't know. I'm going to kind of leave it open, but I've had a few comments saying, "What?" That's Fred yawning in the background. Sorry about that. Had a few comments from people saying, "Why do you call it Life is Scary? Why don't you just stick with the Terrified Writer?" So I'm going to give it a go. The Terrified Writer it is. Anyway, same sort of thing, really. It's the podcast that explores the different ways to overcome fears, doubts, and insecurities, the ones that try and sabotage our creative efforts. So it's all the same chat. Same chat, different name, but same sort of name, in a way. Is it a big deal? Of course it's not. Anyway, welcome to episode 8. Fred, do you have to wait right until I'm recording before you start scratching at the door and making a racket? You see, now he's completely silent, so it sounds like I'm talking to myself. And I'm not, I'm talking to the dog. So hello and welcome. I'm a bit twitchy. Can you hear that? That's him again. I'm a bit twitchy. I've been twitchy for about a week now. Sort of on the edge, you know, a bit panicky, lots of things going on, a bit anxious. And the problem is, when I get like this, I start to procrastinate. Fred, do you want to go out or do you want to stay in? See, I'm going to procrastinate all the way through this. I can feel it. I'm going to go out. Go on then. Well, go on. Oh, okay, we'll stay there. No, he doesn't want to go out. He wants the door open. But if the door's open, I can hear Sam on Call of Duty. Come on. Come on, in. Oh, it's good this, isn't it? We're just going to have a chat today, I thought. I have got a guest. That's very exciting, and I'll tell you all about that person in a moment. So, yeah, I thought it'd be quite interesting today to talk about why we procrastinate. You're just going to have to excuse all the groaning in the background. That's my stupid dog, and he's just quite a verbal dog. He's one of those ones that doesn't shut up. This time of year, I don't know if it's the time of year. Is anybody else feeling like this? I've got a lot of stuff going on with the two boys. They're quite busy at the minute. I've got a lot of stuff going on at home. We've got building work going on, and I'm kind of a bit anxious about that, because partly it's great because the building work's coming to the end, and partly I'm feeling guilty about the fact that we're quite lucky and we can do this, we're privileged and we can do this building work that we don't necessarily need to do, but we want to do it. Oh, man. So then you get that imposter syndrome feeling. But yeah, this time of year, I just get a bit antsy. I wondered actually if it might be a symptom of sad, you know, just seasonal affective disorder. I've never actually thought of myself having sad, but I've definitely felt out of kilter since the clocks changed. You know, you've got the shops kind of don't help either, because you go to Tesco's, or you go to Waitrose or any of the shops. The Co-op in our local market town is the worst, because they start to make you feel like you've got to start getting ready from about August onwards. And I just ignore them. But come November and I'm starting to think, oh, yeah, Christmas is coming. I better start getting ready for that as well. Anyway, I've got a couple of writing projects on the go, both of which I'm really excited about. There's a non-fiction book that I'm writing with another author. And the other thing I'm writing is my second book. I'm really excited about them. But the work that I'm doing on them is sort of sketchy at best. I think it's time. I could do with about 3 or 4 more hours in the day. The thing is that when I do sit down and work on them, that's probably when I feel calmest. I don't know what anybody else feels. When you're doing the thing that you want to do, when you give it time, and you do take yourself away from all the chaos of life in general, that's probably when you feel the best. That's certainly when I feel at my calmest. So There is a lot going on in all areas of my life at the minute. And I think maybe it's time for me to face up to the fact that I'm just not a great multitasker. And when faced with many, many multitudes of tasks, that's sort of almost paralyzing. Anyone else feel like that? It freezes you and you feel overwhelmed by all of the things that you could do. And especially, and this is the worst thing, is when you feel like something's going well. And when you think something's going well, like, you know, for example, the blog is doing quite well at the moment and I've got through to the next round of the UK Blog Awards for next year. Yay! So I'm into this second round and apparently people can start voting now. But I haven't really done anything about it because I feel slightly paralysed with fear about that. Secondly, I mean, this podcast is also, you know, there's a bit of momentum here. We've got people following, we've got people listening. And that's kind of set a bit of, oh my God, you know, there's almost like an expectation there that wasn't there before. So this episode is actually going out a little bit later than usual. Up to now, I've been doing them every week. And I'm going to try stop doing that upward inflection. It's really not helpful. I'm going to talk about that as well in a minute. The upward inflection, like I'm asking a question. Alex and I talked about this last week, not on the podcast, but we did talk about it. And I'm going to try and stop and catch myself doing it. Viv Groskop mentions it in the book I'm reading in How to Own the Room. Which I've also mentioned, and that again asks you to, or it sort of asks you to pay attention to, in some areas, the way that you speak, the way that you hold yourself, your tone, and things like that. And it's just made me a little bit aware that occasionally I do add that upward inflection, almost like an apology. I'm going to talk about that in a sec. Like I say, I do have a guest. The fact that I recorded our chat with this guest a week ago is an example of how this twitchiness, this sort of late autumn, start of winter twitchiness manifests itself. We recorded the chat in this really echoey room. I knew it was quite echoey at the time. And I thought, oh, the sound quality is not going to be brilliant on this. But, you know, I'm not going to worry too much about it. And of course, then I did it exactly that. I worried about it. I sent it over to my lovely friend and techie guru, Tom, who played around with it. And, you know, it sounds fine. It's like the inner critic comes in and goes, hang on a minute. Do you really want to do that? Because, you know, the quality isn't great. Who wants to listen to a podcast where the quality is not great? 8 episodes in and you're still coming up with these interviews or these chats where the sound quality is questionable. So those are the sort of things that go on in the back of my head. And so every time I've sat down to listen and do the edit of this recording, I've managed to find myself something much more pressing to get on with. In The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron talks about this. She refers to it as a creative U-turn. Have you ever done The Artist's Way? It comes in week 9, actually. If you haven't done it and you think you need any kind of assistance with creative block or creative recovery, it really has helped thousands and thousands of people from all sorts of backgrounds with all sorts of ambitions, not just writers, certainly. And it's a quite revealing 12-week program that certainly helped me at the beginning of the year to the point where I think I might need to do it again. Anyway, I'm going to read a bit from here because this is quite interesting. Okay, an artistic U-turn arrives on a sudden wave of indifference. We greet our newly minted product or our delightful process with, oh, what does it matter anyhow? It's just a start. Everyone else is so much further ahead. Yes, and they will stay that way if we stop working. The point is, we've travelled light years from where we were when we were blocked. We are now on the road and the road is scary. We begin to be distracted by roadside attractions or detoured by the bumps. She also says, we get more sympathy as crippled artists than as functional ones. Those of us addicted to sympathy in the place of creativity can become increasingly threatened as we become increasingly functional. many recovering artists become so threatened that they make U-turns and sabotage themselves. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but that sounds all very familiar to me. And I think it might be familiar, without putting words into his mouth, it might be familiar to my guest this week. Tim Merriweather is a local guy I've known for just a few weeks. Yes, I did meet him at the improv class, that terrible thing that I did that I was absolutely dreading and actually turned out to be one of the best decisions I've ever made in years. I did ask Tim to come on the podcast because, well, he's funny and I just thought it'd be entertaining. But when I first met him, it was when we were introducing ourselves at the improv class, and he sort of half suggested that he'd considered possibly the possibility of being a stand-up comedian. And he said it with that upward inflection that I mentioned earlier. You know, he was sort of, I might quite like to be a stand-up. And he sort of, his voice petered out in that apologetic way that we Brits do when we admit we want to do something that's different or creative. It's the way that says, yeah, I mean, I've got this dream, but I know it's just a pipe dream and it's okay, guys. I know it's probably not going to happen. You don't need to point it out to me. This is an idea way above my station. Like I said, I'm not trying to put words into Tim's mouth, but that was just the impression he gave. Not overly confident. It sounded like something he wanted to do, but he wasn't overly confident. I know all about that. And a lot of us know all about that. Anyway, over the 6 weeks, I got to watch Tim perform. I got to know him. And I've got to admit, I'll admit it here, he will hear this for the first time here because I haven't said this to him. But for the first few weeks of the improv class, I was a little bit nervous to work with him because he's so good and I didn't want to let him down. It's true. When he performs, he is very, very funny. He's very smart. He's quick. He's got enough awkwardness that an audience will warm to him, but not so much that it makes them feel uncomfortable. He's great to watch. I love working with him. I love performing with him. Tim, at the moment, works at the Fire Station in Woodbridge, and that's a cafe in Woodbridge, a really good one. And I've heard he makes a mean oat milk latte, but I've only got his word to go on for that. Anyway, I really hope you enjoy the chat, and I will apologise again for the echoey sound. There's not much I can do about that. We have tried. But do you know what? I have listened to loads of podcasts in the last week. Listened to hundreds. I haven't. That's a lie. I haven't listened to hundreds. I've listened to fives. Fives of tens, listen to five, maybe six. And sound quality does vary between podcasts. Some of them are really crisp and really clear, and some of them are really echoey, and some of them are really quiet. And it's content, not sound quality, that matters. That's what I'm banking on, especially in this podcast. You come here for the content and the chat, not for the crisp, clear diction of the people involved. So shall I shut up and let you listen to what we talked about? Okay, enjoy. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Ellen.
Tim is my guest in this episode. And Tim, would you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a guest on a podcast.
Correct.
And my name is Tim.
What do you do, Tim?
Oh, I work in a coffee shop in Woodbridge, and I'm also a doorman, like a bouncer. I think the word is door supervisor now.
Tim, I've just discovered, yes, is a millennial, we think.
Maybe. It's very...
He's going to be the token millennial of this series.
90s kid. I don't know. I'm not a kid, am I? I don't know.
But the reason I wanted to get you on here is because, yes, Tim and I met at improv.
Yeah.
And we're quite well suited when we act together,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Our eyes met across a church hall.
You said something stupid. Yeah. I thought, what an arse.
Yeah.
And it just went on from there.
It's been magical. Yeah.
It has. So what led you to go to that class?
Someone asked to put some leaflets into the coffee shop I was working at. And I was like, oh, improv. And then I remembered that, like, Bill Murray and John Belushi and stuff started in improv. And I was like,
Because you said in the first class that you had ambitions to be a stand-up.
One day I would like to know how to do stand-up. Yes, that would be... That's, like, my bucket list thing.
Okay.
But I feel like it's something that you kind of have to learn, because I've been to a lot of open mic nights and seen a lot of people drown.
I think they do.
They do.
They all drown. Oh. I think you're meant to, though. Yeah. But do you know what? The reason I wanted to get you on here is because I want to push you in that direction, and
okay,
that's why I wanted to get you. It's a trap. I brought you on here to trap you into going, right, Tim, let's plan out the next 10 years of your life.
Let's do it.
And let's work out how we get from here to Edinburgh, because that's obviously going to be your thing, is to do the Edinburgh Fringe.
Quite a circuitous route, otherwise we're going to end up there in about a couple of days or something.
We could probably just get the train.
Yeah, 10 years is a long... We could walk there.
Yeah, we could. And of course, The Terrified Writer and Life is Scary is all about getting over the obstacles, the fears, or making friends with those things to move you forward. So, what is stopping you pursuing that dream at the moment, do you think?
That's a really good question. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, it's not a lack of imagination that I'm having an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
My issues are completely retention-based. I cannot remember most of the things I have ever said.
Have you heard of something called a notebook?
I have, and I've written in several notebooks, but have you ever read through a notebook that you've written in?
Yes, I do it all the time.
It's the random scrawlings of a madman, because I don't write any context.
Maybe as a way of retaining them, maybe like at the end of the week or something, consolidate what you've got and put it into files or something, or try and make some sense of it, but just put it somewhere so that it doesn't go away. I thought of something the other day that was really funny, and I forgot to write the bloody thing down. And now I can't, obviously, it's gone. Yeah. That's it, it's gone. It's gone to find somebody else, and somebody else will have just found that. And
just like, is that mnemonics?
What, ideas just floating on?
Yeah, ideas are their own thing, because they want to grow and sort of multiply.
Right.
That's where you get, like, memes and things from, where people...
Yeah.
Well, put a thing on, and then that spreads and infects, like an ideas and more of an illness.
Elizabeth Gilbert is another writer. She talks about ideas. They have a mind of their own, and they'll come to you, and if you don't use it, they'll go and find someone else. That's her theory.
Like,
you need to get your phone?
No.
Yeah, she said to me, I'm not very good at texting.
Yeah.
Your texts are hilarious, because all they are usually just two question marks.
They weren't meant to be question marks.
Well, what are they?
Like, if you... Look, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get my phone and show you what I sent you.
So
I
texted you, and look. Look, there's one. And there's one. And I was like, what's all that about?
That's brilliant. My phone goes like...
What sort of phone have you got? I did wonder about that.
Right, I feel like I should show you the texts that I sent you. The yeah call was a small picture of a unicorn.
Oh, it's a unicorn!
That one was a dinosaur. Because when you text me back with the... What's with all the double question marks? I'm like... I don't know how to answer that.
I didn't get a unicorn. I got two question marks.
Right. Yeah. Like, I've sent you unicorns and dinosaurs.
Oh, bloody hell. What phone have you got?
Samsung.
A Samsung. I wonder if iPhones don't accept...
Maybe.
...emojis from rival firms.
Oh.
Like, I don't even know if I've got unicorn.
Have you not? Wow. Your phone was shit.
Just type in brackets.
Oh, instead of an emoji, I'll just write the word.
Just write the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice
all good.
To see you, unicorn.
Small dinosaur.
Like, yeah. That'll work. And it honestly, will. It'll be really. You'll get RSI.
And if anyone looks through your phone, they'll be like, they have got a very rare and special relationship.
Like, yeah, spell it out emoji. So, you see, this could be a whole routine, Tim. You can work on this. Stuff like this. So
I've been doing that to everyone, though.
Everyone's like, why the hell does Tim send question marks all the time? He sends more question marks.
I have a tattoo of a question.
Oh, my God, you do as well.
So it's going to look like I've left my, like, calling card or something on people's phones.
Well, don't murder anyone and then send them a text.
Why does people always think I'm going to... Always going to be a murderer. I'm not
saying you're going to be a murderer. I'm saying if you do, don't text them and send an emoji at the end, because it'll turn into question marks and then the police will go, oh, it's question mark guy.
It's obviously the question mark killer.
Yeah. Because no one else has the same emojis as him.
Yeah, no, exactly. Obviously.
I wonder how this is going to sound.
Really weird. It's good, though. I like it.
A bit random. Yeah. Did you see that news story the other day about the guy who, 69-year-old, who identifies as a 45-year-old, wants his age changed by deed poll? I quite like that. But the thing is, on some days, depending on my mood, I can be identifying as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm having a really bad day.
I'm kind of the opinion that if anyone wants to be anything, go on then.
Do it. Yeah, I totally agree.
Just don't.
Because see, I think I'm a bit of a late developer. I was just saying, I do think I'm a bit of a late developer. Mm. I'm always a bit late to the party.
Yeah, I just found out what vines are.
You're the right age to know what you are. The right age to know what vines are.
Yeah, but I'm the last person to know. What, I got Snapchat the other day, and I have like 2 friends on it.
Is one of them Snapchat?
Oh, sorry, 3 friends. Although Snapchat is needy, keep sending me messages even though I don't call back.
For about a year, the only messages I got on Snapchat were from Snapchat. Yeah. I don't do Snapchat very often. That's my kids' territory, and I'm not really allowed to join in.
Yeah.
Apart from if there's like a really, really funny face, what do you call them?
Yeah, I've not figured out how to use the filters.
Oh, I can show you. Oh, filters, that's it.
Yeah, so I've got this thing, and I was like, oh, it's going to be great. It's like a... be able to look at things, and I've not figured out how to look at things. Well, I kind of always thought...
You're a bit of a shit millennial,
I am the worst millennial. I'm going to go and work with a job with, like, wood and stuff, because I don't like computers.
So, back to your stand-up career. Okay. So you have got loads of material that you can work on. Totally got loads of material you can work on. You can deliver a line... I know that because you had the best line of last week, which made me laugh out loud. And so do you think, honestly, that you will take steps to...
Eventually.
Eventually.
I feel like it's one of the things that you can do at any time because it's not a particularly physical endeavour. You can kind of just go, hey, I'm doing this now.
So do you write stuff down all the time then? Do you genuinely take notes and write stuff?
I did, and then I packed a box with, like, my notebook in it, and then just didn't unpack it because it felt a lot like homework.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you like at school?
Terrible. I was the worst child to teach because I'd never done a single piece of homework, ever. But I'd done really well in tests. Like, my parents tried to get me put up a year, and they were like, no.
Really?
Yeah, so I just coasted. And then moved to Turkey before I did my GCSEs, and came back and did a couple at, like, college when I was 18. So I have 2 Cs because I went in shit house drunk because I'm destructive.
Are you?
A little bit, yes.
See, you could not be a more perfect stand-up comedian. You've got all of the... You've got issues.
Yeah.
You've got the lines. You've got history. Yeah. You were shit at school.
Yeah, I've... Like, some teachers either really liked me or they really didn't. Yeah, like, I've never been very big on sort of authority or consequence. So I'm very hard to sort of make do anything.
Okay, and how about staying in jobs though and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing?
Like,
will you do it as long as you're enjoying it?
Yeah, but like I can't not have a job. Because if I don't have a reason to get up in the morning, I get really depressed.
Okay.
Staying under a bed,
so,
just depressedly.
There you go, you see, yeah. So mental health requires that
Totally.
It requires that you go to work.
Yes. I'd quite like to do some travelling soon. And I think as long as I'm sort of... What's the word they use for dogs?
The word they use for dogs?
Yeah, like, if it's a really, like, active dog, it's got to be... Tip of my brain.
What, exercise?
Yeah, but, like, it's got to be given jobs and...
Oh, a working dog.
Yeah,
You're like a working dog. You need
kind
to
of.
Have... Yeah.
Things to do and sort of... that word... There's a perfect word.
There is a perfect word. It's all right, I'm only a writer, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to close the podcast with...
Okay.
What I usually do is... So each week I set myself... This is such a... it's such a shit thing that I do each week because I sort of do it because I think, oh, it'd be nice for the podcast to have a feature. And the feature is that I challenge myself to do something that scares me each week, or I say yes to something that I would intuitively want to say no to. I've done several things. But each week when I do it, I think, am I really challenging myself this week to something that scares me? I don't know, but I'll say I am anyway. And then if something comes along and I accept it, then I'll do it. But tell me, what scares you? I might just turn this into what scares you?
Yeah.
If I have guests. If it's just
China dolls and polystyrene.
Polystyrene?
Yeah, polystyrene.
Is it the squeak?
Yeah. I mean, polystyrene is an umbrella term for polystyrene, Floristry Oasis and cotton wool. Yeah. Although, thank you very much for laughing at my fears. That's you. You
no,
are
I'm
a
not laughing
good
at your
person.
Fears. I'm laughing at the umbrella term. I didn't know polystyrene was an umbrella
term. Polystyrene.
Let's get this straight. Polystyrene, Floristry Oasis,
cotton wool. Yeah.
Is it the Robbie bit of
cotton
wool?
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of...
the squeak.
It's sensory issues.
It's sensory. How do you feel about wooden spoons?
Love a wooden spoon.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I can't lick a wooden...
Oh. No, but why would you lick one? You didn't say, how do you feel about licking wooden spoons? You were just like, how do you feel about wooden spoons? That is a different question.
All right, how do you... But this one is even weirder.
Yeah.
How do you feel about licking wooden spoons?
Just name a time and date. Like, I don't know. This is... How do you feel about licking wooden spoons?
You know when you stir your soup?
Yeah. Yes.
I have to use
have
that.
You...
I've discovered... I know it's really...
Have you thought about using a metal
environment...
spoon?
Well, no, because I've got non-stick pans. But, you see, environmentally... A plastic spoon isn't great, but I say sorry to the universe and the environment by promising I'll always keep my silicone spoons. I'm not going to throw it away. It's not disposable. It's staying in my house. It's not going into landfill.
Okay.
It's all right.
I'm not
stirring
here from the environment.
Stir my soup with those now.
Yeah.
But before the sort of advent of the silicone spoon. Stirring soup in a non-stick pan for me was a nightmare. Because you'd have to lick the wooden spoon and that...
Why do
like...
you have to lick the wooden spoon? Put your spoon finger on the spoon and lick your finger.
Now to get the stuff off. Oh, yeah. And then... yeah, I hadn't thought of that. But there is the other issue of ice lolly sticks. Mm-hmm. You can't... Do you ever have, like, magnums and stuff?
Yeah.
The wooden lollies...
Less of an issue with that, ice. But if a lolly, like a lollipop, which... No adult should ever say as a word. It just feels weird coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
If they're on the weird rolled up paper.
That was stalwart the other week. Sounded weird coming out of my mouth. It's a word I really like seeing written down.
Stalwart. Yeah.
That's what I was going. Is it stalwart? Stalwart.
Yeah, it's an ugly Scandinavian sounding word, isn't
stalwart.
It?
Anyway, lollipop, which actually sounds all right. Yeah.
Plastic, fine.
Yeah.
Rolled up paper, fuck right off.
But you see, the problem is the plastic now. I'm going to suggest you abstain from lollipops. Just to save the sea turtles.
Yeah, no, I have.
Yeah, good.
I have.
Well, and on that
a boiled sweet is really just an amputee lolly, isn't it?
That's exactly what a boiled sweet is.
Yeah.
So this week, in order to scare myself, I'm going to lick 5 wooden spoons. And you're going to...
You're
going to have some cotton wool.
No, I'm not.
Put your hand in a bowl of cotton
I'm
wool.
I'm not.
I'm going to bring some cotton
you
wool.
You can try. I will lash out.
No violence, real or imagined.
No cotton wool, real or imagined.
But yes. Imaginary cotton wool. Right, I'm pairing up with you tonight.
All right.
Right, thank
that
you
was a
very
high five for all the listeners out there.
A live high five.
Yeah.
It was. Thank you, Tim, thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great.
That was fun. Really enjoyed that. And I hope the sound wasn't too irritating. I think you just get used to it after a while, don't you? Anyway, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, rate, or leave a review, or all three. I'm asking you because it really does, apparently, help people find us. I think that's just code for it's a great thing to do, and it makes people feel nice. It makes me feel nice. If you want to get in touch, please email me, anne@theterrifiedwriter.com. I'm on Instagram @theterrifiedwriter, on Twitter @AnneHurst, and the blog is theterrifiedwriter.com. Speak to you next time. Bye!